Okay, thank you. Have a seat, everybody. Have a seat. Thank you very much. Look at Romans chapter 15 tonight. Romans 15. So, doing Romans has been a real blessing to me. Came at a really great time with the loss in my family, and it's helped me a lot to be able to spend time in the Word like this and be around you guys. And you guys have really blessed me a whole lot. And at this time, I'd like to personally thank everyone who taught at these teachings. I thought they did an excellent job. Have a round of applause. It's kind of cool to see so many different people teach and with different personalities and weird senses of humor. Thank you for everybody who had the, thanks to everybody who had the sessions in their house and everybody who did the setup. It's really been a really great time. Homework, if you'd like to do the homework, what Michael was talking about, that sheet. What you also might want to do is read Corinthians and Galatians. And then when you, now that we know Romans better, I think if you read Corinthians and Galatians, you'll be able to see that a lot better. Basically, in review then, Romans chapter 1 through 8 is what? Doctrinal, right? Doctrinal. Romans 9 through 11 is transitional, and Romans 12 through 16 basically is practical. We opened up with Romans 1 through 17 as the opening verses. What we're going to cover tonight is Romans 15, 14 to the end, or that part anyway, and that's the ending part. We're still in the practical section of the book of Romans, and the book of, Romans chapter 13 is part of the practical section, right? So Romans 13 is part of the practical section, and then also those other verses that Jerry read, they're also like in Ephesians 4. That's also the practical section. So it talks about leadership. Isn't it interesting that leadership is mentioned in Romans 13 and Ephesians 4, which is in the practical section of Christianity? So what does that tell us? Leaders who are walking the Word help us to practice the Word, helps us to practice Christianity. Very interesting. So let's look at Romans chapter 15 tonight. We're going to catch up on Romans 15 and eventually work our way to 16 and on. So we've been dealing with Romans 14, and Romans 14 talks about people and practicing the Word, right? In the context of love without hypocrisy, in the context of not judging other people, not causing others to stumble, and also, those kind of things. So in Romans 15, verse 1, it says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and to always please ourselves." No. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and" what? "Not to please ourselves." Remember, that kind of ties in with what we're looking at in 14, because we may have the right to do something, but in the love of God, it's not the right time to exercise our right in every situation. Verse 2, "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to cause others to stumble." No, let everyone please his neighbor for his good to what?
Edification.
Edification. The opposite of causing one to stumble is to edify. Now remember, the practical section of Corinthians ties into the practical section of Romans. Corinthians talks a lot about edification, doesn't it? Edifying the body. Well, here you have edifying right here. Pretty interesting. All right, so it says here, "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." We're to edify people, not cause people to stumble. Verse 3, "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches or the insults of them that insulted thee fell on me." So Christ is used here as an example of someone who didn't please himself, but pleased God. So Christ didn't please himself, but he pleased God. And this is a quote, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. This is a quote from the Old Testament where the psalmist was around people who selfishly had desires contrary to God's desires. And he caught a lot of the insults that, because he stood for God, a lot of the insults that people would have given God, they were giving him. So, looking at that in light of this, in verse 2 it says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. So, he didn't please himself, but he pleased God. And those people who wanted to be pleased by God or the things of God were blessed by what Jesus Christ did. If we walked around and all we did was please people, we wouldn't necessarily please God, would we? Because we'd be people pleasers. We please God, and then in doing so, we please people. But in this situation in the Old Testament, this quote comes from the psalmist, and in this situation, a lot of people were pleasing themselves in a selfish way, and that's where this quote comes from. So, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the insults of them that insulted thee fell on me. Verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, written before yesterday. No. Before Pentecost, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have what?
Hope.
That's cool. So we can read the Old Testament, and sometimes we think we have problems. Like, for example, people insulting us, or people maybe pleasing themselves. In the context, then, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. By reading God's word and understanding it, that enables us to have comfort and to have patience, to endure such things. And then we have more hope. So that's what that verse is about. Okay, verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be what?
Like-minded,
because we're all in one body and we understand the mystery, right? Is that what it says? No. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according to who?
Christ Jesus.
So this exhortation here to be like-minded is not because we're in the one body, although we are. But the primary emphasis of Romans is not everybody in the one body, is it? No. It's like all of us, we know what we have in Christ through the accomplishments of Christ. The greatness of the one body is really talked about in Ephesians. So this exhortation to be like-minded is to be like-minded according to who?
Christ
Jesus. What did we learn about Christ Jesus? We learned that because of him we have righteousness, sanctification, reconciliation, redemption. We have all of these things inside of us. So our like-mindedness according to Romans is not based on the logic of being in the body of Christ. It's being then like-minded according to Christ Jesus. Because all of us have Christ in us. We have what we have as sons of God. Now, we should be like-minded because we're all in one body. However, the emphasis in Romans is a little different emphasis. Pretty cool, I think. That ye may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here it's talking about like-mindedness. That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye or accept. Wherefore accept ye one another, even as Christ also accepted who? Us, according to the glory of God. Lance, are you accepted?
I'm accepted.
That's right. Are you accepted?
I'm accepted.
Are you accepted?
I'm
I don't believe it. You guys sound dead. All right. Now watch. Let's play a little game with Lance. Lance, are you accepted?
Accepted!
Are you accepted?
Accepted!
Are you accepted?
Accepted!
Okay, now, if one person can be that loud, think of the potential in this room. Lance, are you accepted?
Accepted!
Ready? Are you accepted?
Accepted!
Are you accepted?
Accepted!
Are you accepted?
Accepted!
There you go. Hallelujah! I like that. All right. So, why are we accepted? So we can, here's a question for you. Why should we accept each other? Because we've been accepted. We should accept each other because we're what?
Accepted.
Thank you. Now, there's a man with conviction. That's what I'm talking about. Now, so we've been accepted. Wherefore, accept one another as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Now watch this. So, remember when we were in Romans 14, there was some different kind of, there were some situations. Maybe somebody liked hot dogs. Maybe they didn't. Maybe somebody was more mature in the word, and maybe somebody wasn't, right? So there's differences in the body. Maybe somebody eats gnocchis, and somebody doesn't. But in the Bible, there was also a different kind of, another kind of difference. Verse 8, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. So Jesus Christ was a minister to who? The circumcision, Israel, right? So he's talking about accepting one another. Do you remember there was a problem in the first century church? And that was that people didn't accept each other. The Judeans didn't accept the Gentiles. So in this verse, it talks about Israel, verse 9, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. So verse 8 talks about Judeans. Verse 9 talks about Gentiles in the context of acceptance. Pretty interesting. And again, he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of who?
Jesse.
And he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. Now, that's good. Verse 13, watch this. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what?
Believing.
So if we want to manifest some joy and peace, then we need to do some what?
Believing,
right? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in what?
Hope.
Through the power of the Lord Jesus, of the Holy Ghost. So, if we are believing God's word, we're going to have some peace. We're going to have some joy. Then, remember I was talking about the Bema? Who remembers what the Bema is? Anybody remember?
Yes, it's where people go to get rewards.
That's right. So, in the future, we're going to get rewards at the Bema. And what are we rewarded for? Right, for the good things we do in life, right? For our walk as believers, we get rewards. So, watch this. It says here, it says, where are we? Verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what?
Believing.
So as we're walking, the more we walk the word, the more rewards we get, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, let's take a vote. Never mind. Okay. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in what?
Hope.
So the more we walk on God's word, the more we believe God's word, guess what's going to happen in the future? The more rewards we're going to have, the more we're going to be able in the future to abound in hope. Isn't that cool? And this is the close of the practical section of the doctrine of Romans. So here it's talking about living the word and getting rewarded in the future. Isn't that fantastic? You know, if we wait for people to praise us, we may rot in the grave. Because not everybody's going to do it. Not everybody's going to be thankful. But according to Hebrews 6, God remembers. God remembers. So we can abound in hope as we walk the word. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. The word admonish means to put in mind, to confront, to help people. This is the close of the practical section of the book of Romans. And here he says, you're filled with all knowledge and able to admonish one another. You know, we can admonish or we can help people with God's word. And if we get a little reproof once in a while, we shouldn't take it personally, should we? No. Because we're righteous, we're justified, we're sanctified. If somebody reproves me, I don't have to get all defensive because I'm still a son of God. We can take that reproof in a good way, you know. So we're able also to admonish one another, and that's really a very cool thing. And we admonish one another with the word of God. So now, in this next section here, we're going to be dealing with Romans 15:14 all the way to the close. But this here, this is the closing section, and it's the complete opposite, or it's opposite of the introductory section. Romans 1:1 through 17 deals with the same topics as the close of Romans. However, the close of Romans deals with these topics in reverse order. And you can read these at home if you want. For example, Romans 15:14 all the way to 21 corresponds to Romans 1:14 and 15 and talks about Paul's ministry. But we're going to skip that. And we're going to go all the way to Romans 15:22. This is the journey. This talks about Paul's journey to Rome. And this corresponds to Romans 1:10 through 13. So let's read this. Romans 15:22. For which cause I also have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you, and whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. So he's going to go there. But now I go to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. For it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Keep your finger here and look at Acts chapter 20. To open up this teaching, the first day, we looked at that Romans was written right here, probably. Acts chapter 20 and in verse 2. Acts 20, verse 2. And when he had gone over these parts in Macedonia, and he had given them much exhortation, he came to Greece. And there abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. So here in Acts chapter 20, the book of Romans was written, and there's other scriptural evidence that could back that up. Now, not very far away from there, one more chapter over, he goes to Jerusalem. Look over here in Acts chapter 21 and in verse 20. Acts chapter 21 and verse 20. Only a chapter more of time there. However long that is, it's one chapter. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they're all zealous for what? The law. Now, we've spent a lot of time in Romans, And we've seen that Jesus Christ is the end of the law. We saw all those wonderful things that Paul taught about being free, about, you know, the Gentiles coming in and all that, and receiving one another and accepting one another and all these things. So Paul writes this epistle, sends it over there to Rome, and then one chapter later, in fact, he's even saying right here, that's where he's going. He's going to go to Rome. He's going to go to Rome to help the believers over there. And he just got through writing this beautiful epistle to the Romans. Excuse me. He's going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to go to Jerusalem and help those believers there. But we just saw here that in Jerusalem, there's many thousands of Judeans that are still zealous for what?
The law.
What did he just write about? Jesus Christ is the end of the law. He writes his beautiful epistle, and he has to go there and deal with the Judeans who are born again, who are holding on to the legalistic principles. Which just goes to show, Paul's life, he had problems, didn't he? I mean, he wrote this beautiful epistle and wanted to go to Rome, but he also had to go deal with these people that hung on to principles that he knew in his heart Jesus Christ died for a long time ago. Sometimes it's still true today. Sometimes we hang on to things that we shouldn't, or other believers. So there he was, and he was going to Jerusalem to have to deal with things that people basically had rejected out of this epistle. Pretty interesting. We shouldn't get discouraged. Not everybody's going to believe, but we need to hold forth the word. All right, so let's look here then at Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Romans 15, verse 30. So that other section there was the journey section. And that journey section there, it was Romans 15, 22 to 29, and it corresponds to Romans 1, 10 through 13. Now, the next section is Romans 15, 30 to 33. Romans 15, 30 to 33. It says, and this is about prayer. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Ah, more problems in Judea. That my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the what? He was going to take money to go to Jerusalem to help them. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, that I may be refreshed with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So here he's asking them to pray for him, isn't he? Remember in the first part of Romans, he opened up, as I taught about a month ago, he told the Romans that he was praying for them in the beginning of this book. At the end of the book, he asked the people to pray for him, which is really cool. If we're leaders, or if we're mature believers in God's word, Paul did it first, and then he asked people to respond. Paul did it first. He asked people to respond. So in this section here, this is the prayer section, verses 30 to 33, and it corresponds to the beginning of Romans 8 through 10, which is when he asked them to pray for him. Excuse me, when he told them that he was going to pray for them. In this situation, he asked them to pray for him. So in chapter 16, then, is the salutation chapter. Salutation means greetings. In Romans 1 through 7, excuse me, in Romans 1 verse 7, there was the greeting in the beginning of Romans. In this whole chapter here of Romans 16, 1 to 24, is the greeting section. That corresponds to Romans 1 verse 7. So let's look at some of the greetings here before we wrap it up. In Romans 16, verse 1, it says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Jersey City. No. However, Jersey City is very close to New York. Cenchrea is very close to Corinth. And we believe that's where Romans was written. Romans was written from Corinth, which was in Greece, of those verses that I read to you. So I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. So this lady, who was from the outskirts of Corinth, was going to go to Rome. He's saying, I commend her to you, that you receive her in the Lord as become saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many. Succorer means helper, of many, and of myself also. So probably Paul wrote this book from Corinth, and this lady was going to Rome, and she took it there. Now, verse 3. Greet Priscilla and who?
Aquila,
my helpers in Christ Jesus. These guys appear in a lot of different places in the Bible, in the New Testament. Might be fun to look them up sometime and see where they lived. Who for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also unto the churches of the Gentiles. These were people now that lived in Rome. So he's telling them to greet them. So Priscilla and Aquila were really great people, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also unto the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their what?
House.
This would be a good verse to write in your Bible somewhere, because this verse proves that the fellowships met in the homes. So there's this verse and there's a few other ones that show that the church met in the home. Priscilla and Aquila had a fellowship in their home, just like we do today. Likewise, greet the church that's in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. All these people were in Rome. Greet Mary over there, who's bestowed much labor upon us. And it goes down here and lists all these fellows and all these people down here. Verse 12, salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, women's names, who labor in the Lord. Salute beloved Perseus, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus. Now, he was in a band with Chaka Khan many years ago. Now, some of you guys my age understand that joke, but like Gina doesn't get that, I don't think. Do you get that, Gina? No? It's okay. You do get it? Okay, that's good. Chaka Khan was in a band called what?
Rufus.
Okay, that's good. That's a nice biblical name. All right. Verse 13, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and what? My. So all these different names here. And verse 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause what? Cause what? Come on. You guys like need a little life. Cause what?
Divisions.
Cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've heard. Remember Jerry was talking about keeping the doctrine pure and all that? To the doctrine which you have learned and what?
Avoid them.
Get mixed up with them.
No.
Hang out with them.
No.
Suck up to them.
No.
Do what?
Avoid them.
There it is. So, people who are teaching wrong doctrine and causing divisions, you don't want to do that. By the way, Jerry was all excited about being a grandfather, right?
Yeah.
I'm all excited about being a grandfather, too. Not yet, though. I'll catch y'all for that one. Okay, now, verse 18. For they are such that serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own what?
Themselves.
These people that cause divisions and all this, they're into it for themselves. And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of what? The simple. So, avoid them. Pretty neat. Now, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men, and I'm glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you to be wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning what?
Evil.
Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. What? Amen. And Timotheus, my workfeller, Lucius, and Jason, Manuel, and Sosbetter, my kinsmen, salute you. Now, here's a good one. And Baruch. No, does your Bible have Baruch there? What's his name?
Tertius.
Whatever. Okay, and Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in what? In Jeremiah chapter 36, Jeremiah got a scroll. He got a roll. He was the one that spoke it. And who wrote it down?
Baruch.
Remember? Baruch wrote it down. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Jeremiah spake, and Baruch was a secretary, or what they call in religious circles, an amanuensis, which is a guy who writes. So Jeremiah spoke it, and Baruch wrote it. Here in this situation, it says, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Paul spoke it, and this guy wrote it down. Isn't that cool? So, winding down here. So he wrote it, Gaius, my host. Gaius is a guy we find in 1 Corinthians, and he was his host. So there's a Corinthian. And of the whole church salutes you. Erastus, who's the administrator of the city, salutes you. And Quartus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Verse 25. Now to him that is, here's another section now. This section here has to do with the gospel. This section here that has to do with the gospel corresponds to Romans 1, 1 through 6, which corresponds to Romans 16, 25 to 27. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the what?
Mystery.
The mystery which was kept secret until it was revealed in the book of Romans. No, not revealed in the book of Romans. Remember, from the beginning of the book of Romans, there was a gospel. And this gospel, some of it was promised before. And that was the part that was revealed in Romans. We got to look at that. Some of you guys are looking like I'm speaking in tongues up here. Look at Romans chapter 1. If I spoke in tongues, it would be out of order. And Milagros would have a very difficult time translating it. All right, now look at this. Romans 1. Almost done here. Romans 1. Hey, tonight is Friday night. It's a good night to party. It's a good night to party. We got some cookies back there to get you started. All right, now. Hey, I'll take anything. All right, here we go. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of who?
God.
So this gospel of God, which is revealed in the book of Romans, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So what is revealed in the book of Romans was stuff that was promised afore. Stuff that you can track in the Old Testament. Now, let's look back at Romans 16. So this section is the gospel, talks about the gospel. The book of Romans opens up with the gospel that was promised afore. These things we can track in the Old Testament. There's a lot of quotes in the book of Romans, like Bob taught, from the Old Testament. Verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world what?
Began.
So at the end of this book, he begins to talk about the mystery. The mystery is not explained in this book, but it's like a little teaser, or some of you guys would know the technical word for it. It's a little bocadito. It's a little tiny thing for the future, all right? So here in Romans, talked about the gospel that was you know, you could track in the Old Testament. Now, at the end of the book of Romans, he talks about the mystery. He doesn't define the mystery, but to understand the mystery, then we have to go to the great book of Ephesians. So, we saw then at the end of the book of Romans, from Romans chapter 15, 1, all the way to Romans 15, 14, we saw then that connected to chapter 14. That connected to 14, where we're not supposed to please ourselves, but we're to be able to please God, and then we'll please other people, all right? We're not to exercise our freedoms at the wrong time. Then from Romans 15, 14, all the way to the end, that's the closing section. And it deals with topics then in the reverse order as the opening section did. Romans 1, 1 to 17, okay? So let's read to close then Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Romans 8, 31. Now, Romans 8, 31, or 31 to 39, is the close of the doctrinal section of the book of Romans. And the book of Romans has a lot of opposites. Dead in life, condemnation, no condemnation, separation, no separation. Have you guys enjoyed this?
Yes.
We sure have a lot to tell people, don't we? Like Jerry was talking about, we ought to be opening our mouth and speaking God's word. It's the gospel of God that brings deliverance. And we know the gospel pretty well. And we've been taught very well, too, over the years. So we can really help people. And the Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what?
Make you free.
So I love you all very much. And I'm very, you guys have helped to heal my life at a very bad time, and you know, it's an honor for me and any of us who have had the privilege to be up here or be in your homes to be able to teach. And you know, it's really great that we can love each other and share God's word one with another. Somebody's leaving. Okay, now verse 31. What shall we say to these things, this whole doctrinal section of Romans? If God be for us, what?
Who can be against us?
Who can be against us? No one, no one, no one. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who's going to lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God that justified it? Heck no, we just read the book of Romans and saw all the stuff that God did so that we would have justification. Who's he that condemns? Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who's even sat down at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? He's not going to do that. Look at all that stuff he did for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, naked, peril or sword? As it is written, we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're what?
More than conquerors.
More than conquerors. Super conquerors. Better than Superman. We need to believe who we are. All the power of God in Christ in us. All the power over the adversary, over devil spirits, over sickness, over disease, over all the stuff that Jesus Christ wrought in his life. We have it in the new birth. For I am persuaded, not dissuaded, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Which is in who?
Christ
Jesus our Lord. You tell me what you think of Jesus Christ, and I'll tell you how far you're going to go spiritually. Remember that line? He's the red thread, the subject of the written word from Genesis 3:15 to Revelation 22:21. In Romans, he is dead and raised, and we with him. In Ephesians, he's seated in the heavenlies, and we with him. In Thessalonians, he is glorified, and we with him. In Romans chapter 1, He's the subject of the gospel of God. In Romans chapter 2, he's the one by whom God will judge the secrets of men. In Romans chapter 3, he is the mercy seat for all mankind. In Romans chapter 4, he's the part of the things that God called, which be not as though they were. In Romans chapter 5, he's our substitute. In Romans chapter 6, he's the one dead and raised, the one we're identified with. In Romans chapter 7, he's the inward man. In Romans chapter 8, he's our new nature. In Romans chapter 9, he's the seed of Abraham through Isaac. In Romans chapter 10, he's the end of the law. In Romans chapter 11, he's the deliverer for Israel out of Zion. In Romans chapter 12, he's the Lord who we serve. In Romans 13, he is who we are to put on. In Romans 14, he's the Lord both of the dead and of the living. In Romans 15, he's the root of Jesse. In Romans 16, he is the one who is preached. Yes, who is this Jesus Christ? Who is this Jesus Christ in the book of Romans? He's the seed of David according to the flesh, the Son of God with power. He's the believer's righteousness, our justification. He's the believer's redemption. He is the believer's peace. He is the believer's access. He is the believer's reconciliation. He is the believer's life, their intercessor. He is the believer's standard for like-mindedness. Who is this Jesus Christ? Who is this Jesus Christ in the book of Romans? For those with unbelief, he is the stumbling stone, the rock of offense. For those of us who believe, he is our Lord, the one that God raised him from the dead, our hope. And whosoever believeth in him shall not be disappointed in his expectation. Father, thank you for this night. Thank you that we can so love you and walk in your word. And thank you for how wonderful you are and for the great accomplishments of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for all you do for us and for taking care of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.